There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 794, June 24th, 2019. Nasser?
Merci, monsieur. 8 out of 8 for Mercedes, a serious Achtung baby for other F1 munchkins. Back to Mr. Rogers, the wizard of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Insomniacs praise the effects of Formula One. NASCAR's truck series Johnny Sauter suspended for one race after ramming his truck into another driver. And McLaren discovers coffee vendor has been selling them decaf for the past 10 years. And we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Anyone who donates $1 million will receive an F1 Weekly coffee cup and sticker. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Man, I am doing very good. Have you heard the gushing sound that is coming from the deep south with all these people downloading episodes of F1 Weekly now that you are so eloquently covering at the start NASCAR events?
Absolutely. Ross Perot called and said, keep up the good work. And that giant sucking sound is a beautiful thing.
So I guess we'll be sponsored by EDS pretty soon.
That and Skoll.
There you go. Well, you sound so excited about NASCAR race. Did you have the time to check out your home Grand Prix?
You mean up at Sonoma?
No, your home Grand Prix being the Grand Prix of Francia.
Oh, because I live here in California. But yes, my people, the Grand Prix de France. Lovely weather, beautiful flags, beautiful women, a nice air show. I heard the Merguez were perfect.
Yes. And I have good news and bad news for you, Mr. Rogers. The good news is your prophecy has come true after only 8 races of the season. You're soon to be new favorite driver after Dick Trickle and a great biffle, and that would be Lewis Hamilton, is the 2019 world champion. The bad news is most likely your prophecy will also roll into 2020, which very likely will see LCH match Michael Schumacher's number of championships and race wins. Never thought this would happen when the checkered flag fell on the 2006 Chinese Grand Prix. I guess this day and age, Shanghai surprise can happen anywhere, anytime. But I think as long as the current hybrid rules are in place and we are treated to more and more of spaghetti culture, these will remain hammer time. Can't touch this, Mr. Bottas and Mr. Vettel. What say you?
The biggest problem is there's just no competition. What we need is a competition caution. We need a tire fire. I'm thinking, so once you get ahead in the championship, over 70 points ahead of the second one leading the championship, you should be adding ballasts to the car. For every point, you add another 100 pounds.
No, they do that in a lot of series, and I really do not like that because I do not want to see success being penalized. But in the green room before the show, you were talking about how Nando won his championship against the Titan of Titans. Is that what you're missing, Mr. Rogers?
Well, I am missing the battle. I mean, hey, I feel great for Lewis Hamilton. You know, he drives from lap 1 to lap 53. I mean, you could see him. He's having a cigarette, having a donut. You know, it's wonderful for him. But for the viewers, I mean, sure, I like seeing Romain Grosjean get on the radio and whine and complain about things that don't even exist. It's great. I love it. Let's get Grosjean his own show. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I mean, I saw all these people gather at the Grand Prix de France, and well, it was definitely a Grand Prix because it cost so much. But there is just no battle. I mean, who is Lewis Hamilton beating this year? Does anybody know?
He's beating Bottas 2.0.
The rebooted or rebooted Bottas.
I have a feeling that Bottas may be booted out at the end of the season.
Well, if they put Max Verstappen in there, we might have a great season. If not, you know what? Just get Heikki Kovalainen. He'll do it.
Well, I'll tell you, nobody wishes anybody any ill will or accident or anything. The only way to stop Lewis Hamilton from beating Schumacher's record of 91 wins now, I think, is to put Verstappen as his teammate. That will put that in check, let me tell you that.
Verstappen's father, I don't know, Verstappen's contract might stop that, and Lewis Hamilton's contract might stop that.
Yeah, but I think both of them would love to compete with each other in the same team, at least publicly. But I don't think Max will go there because, you know, Mercedes has George Russell in the pocket and Esteban Ocon. And as we have seen, that if you have the best car, you don't need to have the best driver to win championships.
I didn't say it, you did.
Yeah, but I'm not taking any names, even though I can, but I ain't going there, Mr. Rogers.
I've been there, done that, seen that train go. Yeah, no. I mean, he's got the 7 championships. Let's face the facts here. The rules don't change until 2021. Ferrari are just fumbling with the meatballs keep dropping off the plate. I mean, it's a mess. And people forget that Mercedes has not shown all their cards on the table. They're winning at 85%. They're keeping that 15% just in case Ferrari come up with something accidentally. See, people forget how clever and really, really good Mercedes is. So people have, this is going to go on for a long, long time. They're at 85%. I guarantee it. That reserve is saved in case somebody comes up with some weird, crazy idea. But I'm telling you, I feel bad for the watchers, the viewers, the Ferrari fans, the Vettel fans. I feel Vettel's already got 4 championships. You know, that's enough. You don't need more than that. But certainly, we know the Schumacher record is broken. It will be done. It's done. The package is there, and nobody can stop them unless we get a whistleblower, and you know what that means.
Oh, yes. But you know, Mercedes has this slogan in their consumer cars, which not everybody will agree, but the slogan is the best or nothing. But if you apply that slogan to their F1 program, you cannot argue with that. I mean, I was looking at some numbers, which we will get into later on in the show. It's just become such a predictable thing now. It's like, you know, we have 4 things now for sure in life. Death, taxes, Mercedes at the top. And you know what the 4th one is?
NASCAR.
No. Williams at the bottom.
That's true.
And it's so Formula One has become very predictable. But what are you going to do? But, you know, when people complain about that it's getting boring or viewers are going away, well, I have news for these people. This has been going on for a long time. I remember in 1978, nobody could run with the ground effect Lotus. And then we had the McLaren situation, McLaren, Honda, Senna, Prost, and then we had Red Bull had a major run. So this is nothing new under the sun. But I do agree with you that it would have been very nice. Actually, I was just watching while driving home, listening, I should say, to Peter Windsor. You know, he has his YouTube channel, and he was talking about, and he said the same thing, you know, that we always have some sort of Uber domination in Formula One. And he said what he would like to see. He said what Formula One really needs is cutthroat competition in the best car between 2 drivers. And that we don't have. And that's really bad. Because, you know, let me just put it this way to you. If you put Max Verstappen in that Mercedes next to Lewis, man, It will be talk of town every race, just like the Canadian Grand Prix was. What everybody talked about was not the race, for the penalty. And I think we can have that fiery excitement if Max was driving alongside Lewis in today's Mercedes-Benz car.
But even during the domination of Red Bull for 4 years, there was some good battles on the field.
Yeah, there were some good battles. Yeah, I agree with that. But not between Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel, because when he won his last championship, it was like Lewis winning last year. His teammate did not score a single win, which really, really was very surprising in the case of Mark Webber.
No, the last year is always the worst.
Anything you liked in qualifying?
Nothing.
Well, you know, the Mistral wind and wind were blowing Mercedes' way from the start of free practice. LCH was fastest in the practice, free practice 1, and then his wingman took charge in free practice 2 and 3. And I was expecting a red car there, if not both of them. But looks like Mercedes has an answer for any upgrade from Ferrari, and LCH can respond to any challenge, if that word can be used, from Bottas, and the beat goes on. All Mercedes front row was a big surprise after the on-track performance of Ferrari in Montreal, especially of Seb. But FIA was not even interested in hearing their request to review the Montreal penalty, which I think was very stupid of Ferrari to push this agenda. Basically putting Signor Binotto and Seb on the Steely Dan program, go back Jack and do it again. And the best Seb could do in the French Grand Prix qualifying was 7, and said, "I didn't get the best out of the car." I guess one can say the car is also saying the same thing. I'm not getting the best out of him. But surprise of quali for me, and I was very happy to see this happen. McLaren cars on row 3, and Lando Norris ahead of his teammate Sainz Jr. And wow, what a surprise. Signor Antonio Giovinazzi, he out-qualified his teammate Signor Raikkonen for the second time in 2 races. Did that surprise you, the McLaren and the Giovinazzi situation, Signor?
Well, I was very surprised with McLaren. They really are making inroads into their issues. Giovinazzi, you know, he's young. He should be out-qualifying Raikkonen every race.
Yeah, but it has really not panned out. And the thing is, you know, if you cannot rattle the cage of the old man of the sea, then you have to ask, do you really belong in Formula One? I mean, you know, the memory in Formula One for a good performance is like, what, your first 5 races and then you're fired. And as much as I would like to see, you know, we do need an Italian driver in Formula One racing. And as much as I would like to see this kid do well, it's just not happening for him.
Very true.
Any other thoughts on Colli before we move on to the race?
No, I was just thinking about how sleepy I was during Quali. Boy, the race was brutal.
Well, it's a beautiful track. I love those blue lines on the track, so I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Did you watch the Quali live?
I did.
Like, what time was that in the morning for you?
6.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's very convenient on the East Coast, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, I know you love the race because you love Formula One. While I was sleeping, you were pounding your fists and going, "Go, LCH, go!"
Well, you know, I do love Formula One and I do love watching the race. And but again, you know, just like last weekend, I was traveling this weekend also, so I watched most of the race at on my cell phone, and I loved it. And Formula One is beautiful, Mr. Rogers, even when there is no excitement. I see excitement all around. You did not like your home Grand Prix? I'm shocked.
Nope.
What are you expecting from a Grand Prix these days?
I don't know, a fight, you know, something where, you know, it keeps you up instead of me cleaning the garage while I see Lewis Hamilton lead every lap.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, of course, you're right. It was, the race was the same old song. And when the music stopped, Paul Ricard was land of milk and honey and fromage for Lewis Hamilton. And for him, the race and pace was as smooth as sailing on the Mediterranean. When I saw him take the lead, I thought, okay, maybe Bottas will stay with him. But within a few laps, he was out of the DRS zone for Bottas, and that's all she wrote. Now, interestingly, I don't know if Lewis is doing this to tease the competition or the other teams or what's going on, but it seems like every race there is some issue with him. Like this time it was, the big issue was something coming loose on his seat. And then when he said that, I thought of, you know, when he had a problem with his headrest and for safety reason, he had to come and change that. So I thought maybe, I really thought maybe there's some issue with the seatbelt. And you know, if there's an issue with the seatbelt, most likely you will come into the pits. But do you think that they're just teasing the other teams with some sort of a story every race, or is this for real?
I think it's for real. I think Bottas is doing, hey, Carbon Industries, who knows?
Oh, yeah, since Peter Windsor does not do those things on TV, I missed that talk on Carbon Industry, Hitco, and there was another one, right? Brembo.
Si, bravo.
Yeah, and you know, Formula One has delayed making their rules, you know, confirming till October, because they're running into a lot of resistance from team. You know, they don't want standardized brakes and standardized gearbox and stuff like that. So they want to keep the advantage, you know, that the, so there's a difference between the haves and the have-nots. So, well, let's see how it works out. But now, Mr. Rogers, it is 4 wins in a row for Lewis. And he's having, I mean, look at this. Australia and Azerbaijan were his worst race finishes of the season. And he was second to Bottas in both events. So when you have a package that is so strong, obviously you're going to be marching to your championship from the beginning of the season. More importantly, he is now, listen to this, 76 points ahead of Seb and 36 ahead of his wingman. I just don't see Bottas mounting a challenge to take the championship lead from Lewis. And as far as Seb is concerned, he would really need Nico's luck that Lewis has. If Lewis does not finish the next 3 races and they're all won by Seb, Lewis would still be leading the championship, right? Because how much? What's the difference? 70? Yeah. So he would be leading by 1 point, unless Seb has fastest lap on each of those 3 races. So do we agree here now, finally, that the dishes are done for Seb for the championship?
Oh, it's done. NASCAR is the future.
NASCAR. Do you think he will ever get his 5th championship?
No.
Yeah, I don't think he will get it now. He just does not have the package. So basically, which confirms that Seb is now on the Nando program, that he scored his first championship with the same team where he scored his last championship. So the party is over. So it's going to be the Renault days of glory for Nando and Red Bull days of glory. And I think both of them should get together and drink, have a toast to my teammate Fisico and my teammate Weber. And that's, anyway, hey, Lewis might be doing the same a few years down the road. But, you know, talking of Lewis winning 7 championship and getting more than 91 Grand Prix wins, your thoughts if that happens on that level of success for him, or any driver for that matter?
It's going to happen. It's done. I mean, there is no competition. Unless Honda and Max find some weird miracle out of Adrian Newey, this year is going to be the same all the way till November. Next year is going to be the same. We got to wait until a long time for an exciting F1 season. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I think it'll be 2021 before Honda can really stick it to Lewis and Mercedes. I mean, we're just assuming and hoping it will come to that. No guarantees. And I just don't see Renault and Renault-powered McLaren mounting a big challenge to Mercedes this year or next year for that matter. Do you think that McLaren will win a race with Renault power before Renault team does?
Very possible. I mean, not in the next 3 years, but it could happen.
Okay, Mr. Bottas, after the opening race of the season, he was Bottas 2.0. But now with less than half the season over, he's looking more like Kovalainen 2.0. In Le Castellet, he started second, finished second, 18 seconds behind race winner. 2 wins this season, while teammate now has 6, confirming his position in the team as a solid Rubinho. And I think, this is just my thinking, if LCH finishes the season with 3 times as many wins as Bottas, which is very likely, then that may open the door for Esteban Ocon to enjoy what I call the beauty of being teammate to Lewis Hamilton. And the only improvement on that would be to become Max's teammate, just as Pierre Gasly. But, you know, on a positive, you know, you were calling Bottas a clown. Canada was his only non-podium finish of the season. So he's up there. He's almost there. If you give him, uh, if, if Lewis retires at the end of this season and they hire Lance Stroll in Mercedes, who do you think will be world champion?
Lance Stroll.
No, Bottas. Bottas will beat Lance Stroll, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
You're so high on Stroll now.
Yeah.
Okay, Charles Leclerc, were you happy with him on the podium, sir?
So exciting.
Yeah, he had the upper hand on his illustrious teammate throughout the weekend. Came close to grabbing second from Bottas. And, you know, it's like I said before, looks like everybody wants to help Lewis get his another win here. And this was his Leclerc's third place of the season, two in a row. So I would love to see this kid win a race this year. Do you think Charles will get a win this year?
No.
I think he will. I think they will sort these issues out. It may be too late to mount a challenge, but I see a victory in his eyes and his near future also. Now, talking of Max Verstappen, Honda brought an upgraded engine with more Zen, but it was really no match for the Mercedes power in the official team at least, and the best he could do was fourth. This was his fifth finish in the same position this year, which is kind of interesting. And his teammate, the Bottas of Red Bull, Pierre Gasly, was 10th, and Gasly's only top 5 finish this season came in Monte Carlo. There's a lot of chatter on the web, Mr. Rogers, that Pierre Gasly may get the chop-chop in the second half of the season. What's your prediction?
No, he'll finish the season.
You know what's helping him? They've only had 2 races in the Japanese Super Formula in which Dan Ticktum is racing so he can get a super license. And he's not really turning the tide in the Japanese series. So, you know, if Alexander Albon keeps impressing Dr. Marco, then we may see what David Croft loves to use the word, switcheroo. Do you think that can happen during the season?
It can. I mean, you know, Dr. Marco doesn't care about people.
Dr. Marco only cares about if you can win a race on your debut that Max did with Red Bull. Anyway, moving to Sebastian Vettel. After their misery in Montreal, I was expecting a fired-up Ferrari and fired-up Sebastian. What we got over the weekend was candle in the wind, and it burnt out long before Lewis Hamilton took the checkered flag, except for that moment of glory of one extra point for fastest lap. Like that would really come in handy when you are over 70 points behind in the championship. But you never know. Much was expected from Seb and Scuderia Ferrari after their strong showing and loud outbursts in Montreal. The once famous preseason pace was expected at Paul Ricoh on Mistral Strait, but it was not to be. He qualified 7th and car number 5 finished in the same position. Carlos Sainz Jr., I really enjoyed, you know, you were talking about dicing. I really enjoyed Carlos Sainz Jr. and Lando Norris battling it out lap after lap. And Carlito was out-qualified by his rookie teammate, but got the jump on the London lad at the start. And the two had a... Did you watch the aerial footage of the race start where both the McLarens were sort of like crowding Max Verstappen?
Yes, very exciting.
Yeah, that was very good. And I think this package will keep on improving. And I hope... do you think McLaren will have a podium this year?
No.
Not even in the rain-affected race? Would your team, Renault, have a podium this year?
No.
Oh, boy. You are really down and out, huh?
Well, what do you want me to say? Have you seen the podiums?
No, but you sound so depressed.
Well, what can I do? I can't go back to 2005, so might as well be depressed.
Hey, you know what? We're going to go back to 2019 Daytona 500, and that'll get you perky. Anyway, moving on to Kimi Raikkonen, the alpha male of Alfa Romeo. Team brought the car home in 7th. And I have to say, this guy, you know, even though he is well beyond his sell-by date for many seasons now, he somehow does score quite a few points, and which is very important for teams for money and all that. And he was very consistent at Ferrari, if not as quick as Nando and Vettel. So it's good to see the old man Kimi keep on bringing some points. Nico Hülkenberg. Now, I think 2019 may be the first season where Nico is not clear numero uno in his team in a long time. He was 8th in the French Grand Prix. Teammate Daniel Ricciardo was the man on the go. hunting down the McLaren of Lando Norris, only to be given 2 5-second penalties that dropped him out of the points. So you haven't said much about points, penalties dished out in the French Grand Prix. Any thoughts on that?
They were stupid and ridiculous.
As most of these are. Lando Norris was voted driver of the day by race fan. That kind of surprised me. Were you surprised by that vote?
No.
I was. He had a good race going till hydraulic issues late in the race, demoting him to 9th at the end. He and Sainz Jr., like you said, are a good pair of drivers at McLaren, and it will be interesting to see how their rivalry develops as the car becomes more competitive. And I think sooner or later, there'll be friction between these two young drivers, because I think both of them are very good. Carlito came through Red Bull Junior program, and Norris won 5 of the 6 championships. He raced in by the age of 20. Last season, Formula 2 was the only championship he did not win, finishing 2nd to George Russell. Now we come to the 10th place man, Pierre Gasly. He picked up the final championship point, lucky to be elevated to 10th due to Danny Rick penalties. I think Pierre needs to put some pace picante sauce in his performance compared to his teammate. You know, he was out-qualified by Max by over 0.5 seconds, and that's not good. Otherwise, Mr. Gasly may not like the taste of Dr. Marco's Vienna-made habanero sauce that he is famous for serving, especially in the second half of the season. And I think what may save his Lebecun is they don't have a lot of drivers with super license, so he may survive the full season. I hope he does. Now, Robert Kubica was ahead of Williams teammate George Russell, but both were 2 laps down at the end. Proof positive, as I said earlier, Formula One is predictable. 2 Mercedes at the top, 2 Williams at the bottom. Now, grumpy old man of Formula One, Romain Grosjean, was the only DNF in the race. Did you know what happened to him and his family? Apparently some people broke into his house in Geneva late night, you know, to rob the place, and Romain Grosjean got upset and grumpy and faced them, and he scared them away.
I can believe it.
No, it did happen.
I believe you.
Thank you, sir. Now we come to Lance Stroll, now beginning to prove money will get you anywhere in racing but will not buy you success. He is not rattling Sergio's cage, so one can safely say Daddy will be smart enough not to bring the next LCH or Mini Max to the team. What's your take on Lance Stroll so far this season, sir?
You know, it's the wallet. It's weighing him down.
I thought he would be rattling Sergio's case a lot more than what he has done, but it hasn't worked out that way. Okay, sir, now we come to the numbers, what I call the Arthur Anderson segment. Main difference is these are real numbers, and they are very impressive. Since the dawning of the age of LCH and hybrid era in 2014, Hamilton has won 57 of the 108 races. And that's just one driver for Mercedes. So that's just complete domination of the era. And now he's sitting pretty on 79 Grand Prix wins. Only 12 wins behind the all-time record of 91 set by Schumacher in his final Ferrari season. And I'm pretty sure Lewis is going to get another 5 to 7 wins this year. So when the next season starts, he will be within striking distance. And man, I just hope he does not do a Rosberg and announce at the end of the season, I'm retiring. But to each his own. LCH is on the right track and in the right package to deliver record equaling 91st Grand Prix win in 2020. Now, how different the story would have been had he stayed loyal to the hand that fed him all the way from karting to Formula One. As he said himself, he would be a one-time world champion today. So that was pretty much the Grand Prix of the Francia. Any thoughts, any final thoughts, sir?
We already know what's going to happen in Austria, so, I don't know. Maybe I'll send Vettel some espresso or something.
Okay, now the penalty that everybody and his mama and papa were talking about in Montreal, there is one hombre who is saying no comment. Amazingly, your Dios, Mr. Alonso, has decided not to share his thoughts on this with the rest of the world, and I don't know why. Normally, he's not shy with his opinion, as people at Honda know very well. Now we come to Vienna Calling. You remember that song, sir?
My favorite one.
Yes, as they all are. And this was interesting. At the end of 2016, especially given the source, it was Alonso calling Vienna to have a chat with Toto. There was a seat available after a certain departure of newly crowned world champion, Mr. Nico Rosberg, and Nando wanted to be part of the team. This was recently revealed by El Machismo himself, and sounds like he's longing for a competitive drive in Formula One, and who can blame him? Apparently, Toto already had a wolf in sheep's clothing in the team, and Nando has one word for this experience, karma. And so does Christian Horner. His choice of word, reference to the double world champion, is chaos. As they say in a song from late George Michael, there it goes again, the slamming of the door. And talking of the door, you know the door is now closed at Toyota because his contract has expired with them for World Endurance Championship racing. Indy qualifying was a disaster. Where will he go now? D for Dakar or E for Formula E? And you have an inside line to Oviedo. What say you?
H for home.
You mean C for casa?
Oviedo.
Yes. I was thinking, actually, it's going to become next week. I will share this thought on the next segment, which is our motorsports mantra. And that's when I thought about him. And you might like this idea if not agree with it. Last year, there were two teams down in the basement. And just to clarify for you, Mr. Rogers, because you keep bringing this up, we are not talking Chelsea basement. We are talking Williams and McLaren. Both great names in the annals of Formula One history. It is very good to see an active pulse and generally improving condition at McLaren. Both cars scored points last Sunday. The arrival this year of James Key from Toro Rosso and Andreas Seidel, who manage Porsche's World Endurance program, should make the team more competitive, and I very much hope they are fighting for podiums and race wins next year, if not this year. This is the team that won championships with names like Fittipaldi, Prost, Lauda, Senna, and man of the moment, Hamilton. Williams, I think most race fans would love to see this team also do well. The story of Frank Williams is one of great perseverance and determination. I am not sure if they have the right admiral and crew to turn this Bismarck around anytime soon. The team has been one of the biggest supporters of budget cap along with what used to be Force India. This team is now making a racing point with a billionaire new owner whose sole aim is to make his son world champion. Williams, on the other hand, has been surviving on petrodollar paid drivers from Venezuela to Polonia. Last year they hit rock bottom and everybody thought only way now was up. And we even talked about this last year on our podcast. Sadly, they have become fracking version of Formula One. I think sale of team or a serious technical collaboration with the manufacturer like they had with BMW is the best solution. Time will tell if we will see a turnaround or the family would run it into the ground. Mr. Rogers, lay host, your frank opinion on this matter.
It's a travesty, it's sad, but the problem is they just don't have the right personnel. Claire needs to go, and they need to hire new leaders. I mean, they have the Mercedes motor.
I agree, sir. Something needs to be done there.
Something needs to be done. But anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll be back after these brief messages.
Bonjour, je suis Olivier Panis et vous m'écoutez, l'article est pour F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, with the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we shall stay in Paul Ricca for Formula 2 and Formula 3 action, starting with F2. Nyck de Vries was the winner of feature race on Saturday. Mick Schumacher was taken out in high-flying style by his Indonesian teammate Sean Gelaer. Sunday's sprint race was won by local garçon Antoine Hubert. Juan Manuel Correa is, I think he's the only American in F2 this season. He was second on Sunday's event. In Sunday's event, De Vries leads the championship with 121 points. Nicholas Latifi is second on 109. Now, as you know, Formula 2 is promoted as official feeder series of Formula 1. You can punch your own ticket to ride the F1 gravy train by winning F2 in your rookie season, like George Russell, Charles Leclerc, Nico Hülkenberg, LCH, and Nico. If you take a few seasons to win this series, then you are just another face in the crowd. There are some talented drivers this season who must make it happen this year for any chance of promotion to the promised land. And we shall look at three names here. Nyck de Vries is one of them. He had an amazing karting career, got into McLaren Young Driver Program, managed by none other than Anthony Hamilton, Papito of Lewis Hamilton. But then Nyck took 3 years to win the basic entry-level series in Europe at that time, the Formula Renault Euro Cup, and that pretty much sealed his F1 fate. This year, I think, is his third year in F2. Last year, in his second year, he was completely blown away by George Russell and Lando Norris. So the challenge is big for him. But if Alexander Albon can make it to F1, hopefully he will also get a chance, and that'll be nice. Next, we have the case of Sergio Sete Camara. Young Brazilian can be very quick on his day. He is also a victim of bad luck that Red Bull lay on the table if you don't live up to their lofty standards. He is a reserve driver at McLaren, but I think that is to do more with Petrobras sponsorship, which the Brazilian president wants to cancel. Sete Camara is currently fourth in the championship with 80 points. Then we come to the real big high-profile man in the series, Mick Schumacher. He's a rookie this year. In the second half of his F3 season last year, he was racing just like Papa. Had a hard time finishing second as he became the junior Red Baron. But in the prestigious Macau Grand Prix, he was done and dusted by Dan Ticktum, who is hoping to be Red Bull's next big bonanza. Mick Schumacher will find a way to F1 soon as he's now in the Ferrari Driver Academy. And the last name will carry quite a bit of weight. He is currently 15th in the championship and very surprisingly has not scored a single point in the last 6 races. Now we go to Formula 3 Senior, which was previously known as GP3. Indian driver Jahan Daruwala, who is from Mumbai, previously known as Bombay, was the winner on Saturday. Sunday saw success for comrade Robert Schwartzman from Russia. Pedro Piquet was second. Schwartzman leads the championship 70 points. Daruwala is second on 58. And Robert Schwartzman, you know, he won the TRS Racing Series in New Zealand early this year. And he is in the FDA, Ferrari Driver Academy. He could be the next Russian in F1 orbit soon. Now we come to Indy cars from Road America, one of the best tracks in the USFA. Alexander Rossi completely dominated the race. I have not seen this race yet, but I heard that he won. He led each and every lap, so that's very impressive. Now, talking of penalties, sir, Nürburgring 24 hours. Audi wins this race after the leading Porsche gets a 5-minute plus penalty for speeding and ignoring double yellow flags. And all I can say is, good evening, Mr. Vettel. You and Sergio are not the only ones. Any thoughts on any of these events, sir? Maybe you can give us an update on NASCAR action over the weekend.
No, I didn't attend the NASCAR race, and I'm sort of beat up and suffering every day. So, no NASCAR excitement. I don't even know who won the race in Sonoma.
Wow.
I know, but I'll get my NASCAR crap together for the next podcast, NAS. I'm going to impress my new NASCAR fans.
Yes, please do. Okay, shall we move on to Le Goodie Bag from Paul Ricca?
Please.
Okay, thank you, sir. A little histoire and factoid on the French Grand Prix. The 2019 French Grand Prix also marked the 40th anniversary of Renault's first victory at Dijon in 1979. Ironically, this turned out to be the race where more people remember who finished second and third than the race winner, who was local yokel Jean-Pierre Jabouille, at that time also brother-in-law of Jacques Lafitte. 1906, first ever Grand Prix took place in France, and the winner was Hungarian driver Franz Sisch, driving a Renault on Michelin tires. Very impressive. 100 years later, in the French Grand Prix 2006, Manicourt, I was really hoping to see Renault and Michelin triumph again, as Zorg Baumgartner was driving for them would have been great. But the idea was shot down by Red Baron. Ben, guess who finished second that day? With Michelin tires and in a Renault.
El Machismo de España.
Yes. Okay, now a lot of races, just like the United States, France has seen a lot of cities and towns and tracks host the Grand Prix. So let's look at some of them. Reims, how do you say that in French, sir?
Reims.
Yeah, a little too tough for me. Anyway, this track, street circuit, I was there a few years ago. Very, very historical. The grandstands are still there. Highly recommended for those who are interested. And actually, you know, many years ago, I was at the Barcelona airport talking to somebody, and Martin Brundle, of all the people, joined the conversation, and he said to me, mate, you should go to Reims. So anyway, this track is famous for Giancarlo Baghetti winning on his F1 debut in 1961, slipstreaming and passing Dan Gurney at the last second to win this race. He never won again. This is the track which saw the last ever F1 race for Juan Manuel Fangio. And in the same race, in 1958, Italian driver Luigi Musso crashed and died from his injuries a few days later. Now, you know this place? Actually, you have been to this place, right? Rouen-les-Arts?
Yes.
First Grand Prix win for Porsche in 1962 on this street circuit, and also for Brabham 2 years later, 1964, both courtesy of Dan Gurney. And Joe Schlesser was killed in a fiery accident shortly after the start of the 1968 race in his air-cooled Honda. French Grand Prix also took place at Clermont-Ferrand, which is also a track I've been to, very nice, also known as the French Nürburgring. And, of course, Clermont-Ferrand is the home of ex-Formula One driver Patrick Depailler and home base of Michelin tires. Le Mans held one French Grand Prix in 1967 at the Bugatti circuit. Jack Brabham was the winner in his own car. Now, we already talked about the 100th anniversary French Grand Prix that took place at Manicourt, so I'll skip on that one. And then we have the current facility, Paul Ricca. Ronnie Peterson took his first win here in 1973 with JPS Lotus, which made me very happy because I was a big Ronnie fan. Track claimed the life of Elio De Angelis in the low-profile Gordon Murray-designed Brabham, and that was in 1986. The last time Formula One was racing at Le Castle before the, you know, coming back last year, was 1990, when local driver Alain Prost handed Ferrari their 100th win. So this is a pretty impressive history there for Paul Ricca. And our favorite Dijon Prenois hosted the 1982 Swiss Grand Prix, but will forever be remembered for the 1979 duel between Gilles and René Arnoux. Of course, Gilles Villeneuve and René Arnoux, that would be. Two French drivers scored their first F1 victory in the home Grand Prix. Jean-Pierre Jabouille in 1979 with Renault, and the following year, Alain Prost with McLaren, both at Dijon Prenois. There you have it, Mr. Rogers. Hope you enjoy some pastis and praline and feel better.
I'll feel better in a couple more years, Nass.
Very good, sir. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Keep up the good work. So there you have it, folks. We'll see you in Austria. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.